This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Hello, Syracuse. Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Thanks for starting your week with us on this January 23rd, 2023. I'm your host, Wes Chang. And I want to start today's show by awarding my 2023 Josh Pace Award. If you remember the 2003 National Championship team, Josh Pace was the glue guy on that squad. If you need a rebound, a steal, a bucket inside, he was your guy. And other winners of this prestigious award include CJ Fair, Marek Dolezal, and Christoph Anjanot. And this year's winner is Malik Brown. And if you're not on the Malik Brown bandwagon, you better get on because it's getting full. In a 80-63 win over Georgia Tech on Saturday, he scored 18 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, added 4 steals in 32 minutes, and he did all of that without getting a single play called for him. Our Matt D'Agostino was covering the game on Saturday. He chatted with Joe Girard afterward, and this is what Girard had to say about Brown.
Talking about Malik and his game, yeah. Coach said you and Judah were looking for him, and you know he found a way to get open inside.
No, Malik does a great job. I think the best part about him is he does all the little things, and then that's how he scores. So you don't necessarily need to run a play for him to score. He's going to go off, get an offensive rebound. He's going to find the right hole while you're driving, and you know, just got to drop it off. And he has some of the best receiving, you know, catching hand that I've ever seen. So you know, it's a lot like Jesse. You know, you throw the ball anywhere near the rim, they're going to go catch it.
So yes, huge props to Brown, who's growing into a big fan favorite, and deservedly so, and we'll get to the rest of the Georgia Tech win later in the podcast. I also wanted to talk about Syracuse football. Yes, it's the offseason, but we know there's no such thing, especially when it comes to recruiting. The dead period ended on January 12th, and the contact window is still open until January 28th. The Syracuse coaching staff, which has undergone a lot of change in the offseason, and we'll get to that later, has fanned out across the country and has handed out more than 20 offers in the last week. Of course, Syracuse has been in its traditional recruiting ground in the Northeast, but wide receivers coach Mike Johnson was out in California last week. He offered several high major recruits. One of them was 2025 athlete Hayden Lowe from Westlake Village in Los Angeles, and we're really happy to welcome him on the program. Hayden, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, and you? Appreciate you having me on this podcast.
Yeah, Hayden, doing well. We'll get you started on this one. You picked up an offer from Syracuse last week from Syracuse assistant coach Mike Johnson. How did it feel to get that offer, and what did you think of meeting Coach Johnson?
Well, Syracuse has always been on one of my bucket lists because my mom loves that school. It has a great academic properties to it that I can utilize and something that will be good for my future. And I'm really blessed and honored to call that one of my offers. I love Mike Johnson. He's a great guy.
You're a Los Angeles native, but do you plan on visiting Central New York later this year?
Oh, yeah. Summer is where I plan on taking all my unofficial visits, and springtime.
Hayden, you've got no shortage of offers aside from Syracuse, Texas, Arizona State, Washington, Pitt, Michigan, Arizona. Do you have any favorites so far?
My favorites, no favorites right now. I'm just keeping my options open, and yeah.
Hayden, you play defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver, tight end for Oaks Christian. What are you primarily being recruited as, and what do you like most about that position?
Defensive end guy. It's my main position. I like that the most. I like speed to power. I'm always physical, and I love chasing down the quarterback. Love getting sacks, but strip sacks are better in my preference. And I also love going all over the field. Just gives me something to do also. When I'm on defense and I have to get off the field and watch offense, love to be a part of it.
What's the number one thing you're looking for in a college right now?
Finding good fix for academics is number one on my list for college, on my radar for college, then sports comes second.
Do you have anything else that's going to factor into your college decision?
I like the environment and, you know, business opportunities, a lifestyle, a good living situation, and I would like the coaching staff and everything else. All kind of plays the tie. Also, if my parents could fly out there too, that would be great.
So that's a great segue into my next question. Is location a key factor for you in picking a college?
No, not really. But my dad, you know, he's elderly, and he's kind of hard for him to travel sometimes. So it would be better a decision for my dad so he could travel and come watch me play. But he also likes to sit home and watch the TV, so I guess that's cool too.
And Hayden, we'll get you out of here on this one. Tell us about the guy you are away from the football field.
Type of guy I am, funny. I love food, love to cook. Also, love to garden. That's one of my dad's hobbies. it's like a great bonding moment on between us. Love cars, hanging out with friends, and I also love making people better.
Hayden, thanks so much for coming on the program. Again, 2024 defensive end Hayden Lowe. Hayden, we appreciate your time. Good luck with your recruitment and your junior year. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you for the opportunity. Feel really blessed.
Hayden Lowe, boys and girls. Hayden is definitely going to be one of the most coveted prospects in his class. He's only a sophomore. He's already fielding offers from the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC. In three games with Oak Christian this season, he had 3 sacks, 7 hurries to go with 16 tackles. So he's definitely going to have his pick of colleges when he's ready. But more than that, he just seems like a really likable guy. Certainly wish him all the best and hope that Syracuse stays involved in his recruitment. We'll take a quick break. I'll be joined by the Juice Online editor-in-chief Brad Bierman after to talk about Syracuse's win over Georgia Tech. I'm Wes Chang.
This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
Here's the MyBookie read. Are you the type of fan that knows college basketball so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie.ag is the place for you because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. If you're tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain, MyBookie.ag wants to get your mind off everything and get you back in the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit all the way up to $1,000. And side note, Syracuse was giving 2.5 points against Georgia Tech on Saturday, so kudos to you if you bet big on that game. Just enter promo code THEJUICEONLINE to activate your $1,000 offer. Again, that's one word, THEJUICEONLINE. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So let's pick up where we left off at the beginning of the show, talking about Syracuse's win over Georgia Tech. We bring on the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman, to break down the win. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing well, Wes. Thank you.
So, Brad, Syracuse picked up a win on Saturday, defeating Georgia Tech 80-63. The Orange fell behind 20-10 early on. It was all Orange there as they improved to 13-7 on the season. Brad, what were your takeaways from the game?
Well, number one, I thought it was real interesting to hear the turnout of the Syracuse fans on the road. What a great sign. Syracuse fans are just fantastic, traveling to ACC road games. And it's certainly great to get a win on the road in the ACC with half the games played away from the dome. And Syracuse had a great second half performance to pull away from the victory. I'll tell you this, Wes, if Joe Girard does not make first team all ACC, there has to be an investigation. He's getting better as the season progresses, and certainly arguably had his best game of the season with a 28-point performance in beating Georgia Tech, just 3 shy of his career-high 31 against Richmond earlier in the season back in Brooklyn. And what's interesting is you can really see how the rotation is shaking out. Now, Jim Boeheim's always known for playing roughly 8 players per game. 10 players played against Georgia Tech. 8 of those 10 got double-figure minutes. And as I wrote about after in the post-game Instant Juice article, it's just been wildly inconsistent how Jim Boeheim has suited up players to play the most time at the wing forward spot. And in the case of the game against Georgia Tech, it was Kadir Copeland, who hadn't played in the last couple of games, getting a season-high 17 minutes. Not big statistical numbers, but he certainly adds a spark when he's in there on the court. And great inside play. Jesse Edwards continues to play nearly double-double level, can be a little bit more aggressive, I think, as the season progresses. Malik Brown had his best game of his Syracuse career with a career-high 18 points, and he's just been really a contributor underneath as Syracuse scored a lot of points, 44 in the paint, beating Georgia Tech. Judah Mintz continues to be hot and cold. He had a great second half, some great assists on key baskets to keep Georgia Tech at bay. And overall, just a fantastic team win heading back home to face North Carolina in the Dome next week.
So, Brad, let's continue that discussion. What are you looking for in Syracuse's matchup with North Carolina?
Number one is continued improvement from this team. I think you can see the progress the team has made. We've talked all year on the podcast about where Syracuse would be after 10 games, now here at the 20-game mark, just surpassing that, and then at the 31-game mark as the regular season comes to an end. So number one is continued improvement and some fluid play by everyone that gets in the game. I mean, it was right back into the doghouse for Benny Williams in the Georgia Tech game, playing just 8 minutes, pulled by Jim Boeheim early in each half. Chris Bell struggled offensively those two players combined for just 3 points. You certainly need production out of your starting five. Malik Brown has stepped in as the top reserve and picked up the slack for both Bell and Williams. I've been kind of disappointed with Saimir Torrence's play to be consistent during the season, and you really need that consistency. You really need the 8 or 9 players contributing, and I'd like to see that against North Carolina. Now, the Tar Heels are a team that Syracuse historically has had problems with. In the ACC, going back to the first season, 2013-14, SU is just 3-11. Two of those wins did come in the dome, one in the ACC tournament, and a favorite stat of mine, Wes, that I've talked about in past seasons is Syracuse has never won at the Smith Center. So let's see if Jesse Edwards can contain Armando Bacot down low. Let's see the battle between Tar Heel guards Davis and Love against Gerard and Mintz. And let's see if Syracuse can get, as you said, a quadrant 2 and possibly a quadrant 1 win and keep the momentum rolling as the season progresses.
Brad, we're running out of show. Your closing thoughts.
Well, Wes, another week and another loss of a Syracuse assistant football coach. Boy, it's tough. There's nothing worse for a team to not have continuity when it comes to a coaching staff. And this is just the reality of the Syracuse program, where it stands in the thick of the national landscape in the ACC. It's going to be viewed as, you know, maybe a combination of a stepping stone program for assistant coaches. And certainly in the large fraternity of college football coaches, coaches build relationships over the years at prior jobs, at summer camps, at events. So when coaches move around as frequently as they are now in this era of both the transfer portal for the players and seemingly a transfer portal, if you will, for assistant coaches, there's going to be change. But when you lose 5 assistant coaches in the offseason, that's really tough. That's tough on developing players, tough on that continuity, and tough on the teaching aspect to bring a team together. But it's the reality of the Syracuse program. So let's see what happens as Dino Babers and company still have to fill out up to 3 positions on the staff heading into spring ball in March.
Brad, I'm going to close the show with another recruiting note. Neil Adler from FanSided wrote over the weekend that Syracuse booster Adam Waitzman will host 2024 guards Boogie Flan and Elijah Moore at the North Carolina game on Tuesday. This is a new era in recruiting with name, image, and likeness, and Waitzman has offered both prospects major NIL deals, according to the report. Syracuse is likely to end the 2023 cycle without a commitment, but if they're able to get commitments from Flan, who's a 5-star, and Moore, who's a 4-star, wow, that would certainly change the perception that Syracuse is no longer a destination school. This is definitely a situation worth keeping an eye on as the 2024 cycle gets in full swing. That's it for us. I want to thank my guests today, 2025 defensive lineman Hayden Lowe, the Juice Online editor-in-chief Brad Bierman, and our sponsor, MyBookie.ag. And this is Wes Chang reminding you that my car has tinted windows, but don't judge me, it's just from dirt. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast, and we'll see you next time.